Welcome to everyone. We're diving deep today into periodontal disease. You know, this masterclass is really for all of you out there, the veterinary professionals. We see it all the time, right? Periodontal disease, it's everywhere. I mean, a crazy 85% of dogs and cats over 2 years old are affected by it.
Oh, absolutely. It's incredibly common. And you know what's interesting? We've actually got records of it going way back, like to the 1800s.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Imagine treating a dog back then for what they called puria.
I can't even imagine.
It's amazing to think how far we've come, but periodontal disease is still a big deal. And it's, well, it's more than just a simple infection, you know?
Right, so it's more than just that plaque buildup we see.
Way more. It's multifactorial. There's a ton of things contributing.
Our sources really emphasize that.
For sure. Like, we need to consider plaque distribution, but also how aggressive the bacteria is. And then on top of that, there's calculus, predispositions, malocclusions. Oh, and even things like the pet's genetics, immune system, and, you know, their lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Lifestyle. That's a big one.
Yeah.
We can really help owners make changes there.
Absolutely. Things like home dental care and making sure they're chewing on the right things.
Exactly. Things we can actually make a difference with.
100%. Now, shifting gears a bit, let's zero in on plaque itself.
Okay. Yeah, plaque. That sticky film, we all know it.
Right. But it's, well, it's not just bits of food stuck there.
It's a whole ecosystem.
Ah, you got it. It's a complex biofilm that develops on the tooth. And here's a fascinating thing. Plaque forms super fast when animals sleep.
Wait, really? Even when they're asleep?
Yep. Humans, too. It's like a nighttime plaque party.
So even when our patients are resting, their mouths are busy.
Exactly. So we have to break that cycle somehow. Now, when all that plaque hangs out near the gums, that's when we see gingivitis start.
Right. Gingivitis, the first battle in the periodontal war.
Yeah, and our sources, they describe this whole inflammatory process that's happening.
It's wild to imagine like a microscopic war zone in their gums.
I know. Blood vessels changing, white blood cells rushing in, collagen breaking down. And if we don't get gingivitis under control, well, it turns into periodontitis.
And that's when things get serious, right?
Yeah, periodontitis is a whole other beast. The infection really digs deep into those tissues, causes lasting damage.
So we need to tackle gingivitis before it gets out of control. So what are our best weapons? What do we do? Brushing, special wipes, something more intense.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? Brushing, it's the gold standard, of course. But honestly, it's not always something owners can manage.
True. So are there alternatives?
Our sources talk about MaxiGuard products. They're a good example.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of those.
Like, their wipes, they're great for getting rid of plaque, especially if a pet just won't let you brush.
Right. Makes sense.
They also have a gel with zinc ascorbate in it, which helps with collagen production and tissue repair.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So really, we need to think about each patient individually, their needs, what their owner can do, and how bad the gingivitis is.
A tailored approach.
Exactly. The best treatment is one that actually works for everyone involved.
Okay, so gingivitis, we've covered that. But what happens when it advances to periodontitis? That's when it gets really scary, right?
Unfortunately, yeah, that's when things take a turn. So when plaque builds up under the gum line, it creates the perfect spot for anaerobic bacteria. And those are the really nasty ones, the big bad guys of periodontal disease.
Right, I remember learning about them.
They produce toxins that just wreak havoc on the surrounding tissues.
It's insane the number of those bacteria in a deep periodontal pocket.
Yeah.
Like 100 million times higher than in a healthy sulcus.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it? It
makes you realize how quickly things can get out of control.
For sure. And, you know, it's not just the bacteria themselves. The pet's own immune response plays a big part, too.
Oh, so their own body is working against them in a way.
In a way, yeah. Their immune system tries to fight off the infection, but it ends up causing more damage.
A double whammy.
Exactly. It's this complex interplay. And that's why periodontal disease is so difficult to deal with.
Speaking of difficult, let's talk about those periodontal pockets. They sound like a real nightmare.
They can be, yeah. So as the infection gets worse, these gaps form between the tooth and the gum tissue.
Okay, so they're like little hideouts for bacteria.
Exactly. They're protected from cleaning, so the disease just keeps progressing.
And it doesn't stop there, right? Our sources mention that these pockets can have systemic effects too.
Oh, absolutely. Those bacteria and inflammatory mediators can actually get into the bloodstream.
Oh no, that's bad news.
Yeah, we're talking potential heart problems, kidney issues, even meningitis.
So it's not just a mouth problem anymore.
Nope. Periodontal disease can affect the whole body.
This is heavy stuff. Okay, we've covered plaque, the bacteria, inflammation, and those pockets. What about calculus? Where does that fit in?
Right, calculus, or tartar, as some people call it. It forms when plaque mineralizes over time. Now, it's important to remember, calculus itself doesn't cause gingivitis.
But it's not exactly helping the situation, right?
No, not at all. It creates this rough surface on the tooth, which makes it even easier for plaque to build up.
Like adding fuel to the fire.
Exactly.
Okay, we've got a good handle on the main culprits now. But periodontal disease, it's not just one thing, is it? Our sources mentioned different types.
You're right. There are different types, each with their own quirks. For example, there are juvenile forms of periodontal disease, like juvenile gingivitis and juvenile onset periodontitis.
Ah, so different age groups too.
Exactly. We see it in puppies and kittens. And then there's the most common type we see in practice, slowly progressing adult periodontal disease.
Right, I see that one a lot.
It develops gradually over time, gets worse as the pet gets older.
So starting with inflammation, then plaque and calculus building up, and eventually it turns into full-blown periodontitis with bone loss and maybe even losing teeth.
That's the general idea. Yeah. And to really understand how it progresses, it helps to break it down into stages.
Stages, like how severe it is.
Exactly. Our source material talks about four stages of periodontal disease. Each one has different clinical signs, and that helps us figure out how to treat it.
That makes sense, breaking it down like that. Okay, let's go through them. What does stage one look like?
So stage one is basically early gingivitis. At this point, there's not much plaque or calculus. The gums are a bit inflamed, but there's no bleeding when you probe them. And the depth of the gingival sulcus is still normal.
So this is where catching it early is so important. What can we do at this stage to keep it from getting worse?
Client education is key here, absolutely. We need to make sure owners understand what's going on and how to care for their pet's teeth at home. That might mean brushing or using those MaxiGuard products we talked about.
Right, try to nip it in the bud. Okay, what about stage two? What should we be looking for?
Stage two is when things start to get a little more serious. We're talking advanced gingivitis or early periodontitis. There's more plaque and calculus. The gums are more inflamed and swollen, and you'll probably see bleeding when you probe.
So the infection is taking hold.
Yeah, and we start to see some loss of attachment. Moderate periodontal pockets start to form.
Okay, so professional help is definitely needed at this point.
Absolutely.
All right, things are escalating. What's happening in stage three?
Stage three is established periodontitis. The plaque and calculus might not be too bad, but there's a lot of loss of attachment, deep periodontal pockets, and up to 50% loss of alveolar bone height.
50% bone loss. Wow.
Yeah, it's significant. And you might start to see some tooth mobility at this stage, too.
This is where treatment gets really complicated, I imagine.
It does. You might need a combination of professional cleaning, periodontal surgery, and long-term management.
Okay, and I'm almost afraid to ask, but what about stage four? What does the final stage look like?
Stage four is advanced periodontitis. We're dealing with a lot of plaque and calculus, really deep periodontal pockets, more than 50% attachment loss, severe gingival recession, and significant tooth mobility.
So basically, the teeth are on their way out.
Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, yeah. At this stage, extracting the tooth is often the best thing to do. It relieves pain and prevents other problems.
This is all pretty sobering. It really shows how important it is to catch periodontal disease early.
Absolutely. The earlier, the better. The earlier we intervene, the better the chances of saving the teeth and preventing serious damage.
So we've talked about the types of periodontal disease and the different stages. What's next on our agenda for this deep dive?
Well, now that we have a good understanding of the disease process, let's talk about what we can actually do about it. In part two, we'll get into the specifics of each stage and the challenges they present. And then we'll explore all the different treatments and strategies we can use. So stay tuned. Welcome back to our masterclass, everyone. Last time we got into the nitty-gritty of periodontal disease, you know, what it is, what causes it, all that. Now let's dive into the different types of periodontal disease we see.
Right, because we learned it's not just one periodontal disease.
Right.
There are variations, right?
Exactly. Our sources point out some interesting distinctions. For example, we've got juvenile forms of periodontal disease, like juvenile gingivitis and juvenile onset periodontitis.
Ah, yes, juvenile gingivitis, that rings a bell. Isn't that what we often see around teething time?
You got it. Think about those sharp highs and some of the toy breeds. They tend to get a marginal gingivitis right when those adult teeth are coming in.
And I think I've seen more gingivitis in kittens around teething too.
Yep, you're right. Kittens can have a more intense kind of juvenile gingivitis, especially Abyssinians, Persians, and even ginger farm cats.
Ginger farm cats, huh? That's interesting.
Right. It looks like a hyperemic proliferative gingivitis, almost like the gums are growing too much.
That sounds, well, a little strange.
It is. And the thing is, even with cultures and biopsies, we haven't been able to figure out exactly what causes feline juvenile gingivitis.
Still a bit of a mystery, though.
Yeah, for now.
Okay, so we've got juvenile gingivitis, but what about juvenile onset periodontitis? How's that different?
Oh, that one's much more aggressive. It hits kittens before they're 9 months old. And dogs, too. Certain breeds like Maltese, miniature schnauzers, and greyhounds.
And I've heard it can be really bad.
It can, yeah. We see a fast buildup of plaque and calculus. The gums are super inflamed. Ulcers, even bone loss. It's rough.
Wow, that's scary. Any idea what triggers it to progress so quickly?
Well, for kittens, some researchers think respiratory viruses might be involved, like calicivirus and herpes virus. But for dogs, we're still not sure. Maybe spirochetes, autoimmune responses, or even just an overreaction to bacterial toxins.
So much we still don't know.
That's the thing with periodontal disease. There's always more to learn.
So those are the juvenile forms. What about adult animals? That's what we see most often in practice, right?
Absolutely. The most common type is slowly progressing adult periodontal disease. It's like it sounds, it develops gradually over time.
So it starts small and just gets worse as the pet ages.
Exactly.
So some inflammation, then plaque and calculus, and eventually it's full-blown periodontitis.
Yep. With bone loss and potential tooth loss, it's a sad progression to see.
It is. And that's why understanding the stages is so important, right?
For sure. Our source material outlines 4 stages of periodontal disease. Each stage has its own clinical signs, and that tells us how bad it is and how we need to treat it.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's break it down then, stage by stage, starting with stage 1. What does that look like?
All right, so stage 1 is basically early gingivitis. We're talking minimal plaque and calculus, a little inflammation in the gums, no bleeding when you probe, and the gingival sulcus depth is normal.
So this is where we really want to catch it, right? What can we do to stop it from getting worse at this point?
Client education, that's the biggest thing. We got to teach owners how to take care of their pet's teeth at home. Brushing is ideal, but if they can't manage that, there are other options. Like those Maxiguard products, they can be a good alternative.
Right. And hopefully that's enough to prevent it from progressing. Okay, what about stage 2?
Stage 2 is when things start to get a little more concerning. We're looking at advanced gingivitis, maybe early periodontitis, more plaque and calculus, the gums are more inflamed and swollen, and you'll likely see bleeding when you probe.
So the infection is really starting to dig in at this point.
Yeah, and we start to see some loss of attachment, those moderate periodontal pockets forming.
Okay, so now professional intervention is a must.
Absolutely.
All right, things are getting serious. What about stage 3?
Stage 3 is established periodontitis. The plaque and calculus might not be too bad, but there's significant loss of attachment, deep periodontal pockets, and up to 50% loss of alveolar bone height.
Wow, 50% bone loss, that's a lot.
It is. And at this stage, you might start to see some tooth mobility, too.
So the teeth are actually starting to loosen.
Yeah, it's not good.
And I imagine treatment at this stage is pretty complex.
It is. You're looking at professional cleaning, maybe periodontal surgery, and definitely long-term management strategies.
Okay, and I hate to even ask, but what about stage 4?
Stage 4 is advanced periodontitis. This is the end stage, and it's not pretty. Lots of plaque and calculus, very deep periodontal pockets, more than 50% attachment loss, severe gingival recession, and significant tooth mobility.
So basically, the teeth are pretty much gone at this point.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of times that's the case. At this stage, we're often talking about extraction. It's the kindest thing to do, to relieve the pain and prevent further problems.
This is all pretty heavy stuff.
It is, but it's important to understand the full scope of periodontal disease.
Absolutely.
And it just emphasizes how important it is to catch it early. The earlier we intervene, the better the outcome for the patient.
I completely agree. Okay, so we've covered the different types of periodontal disease, and we've gone through the stages from early gingivitis to advanced periodontitis. What's next on our journey?
Well, now that we have a good grasp of what periodontal disease is and how it progresses, let's talk about what we can actually do to treat it. In part 3, we'll delve into the specific treatment modalities and strategies we can use. We'll explore all the tools in our arsenal to combat this tough opponent. So stay tuned.
All right, welcome back, everyone, for the final part of our periodontal disease masterclass. We've covered a lot of ground, you know, the history, the causes, those different types and stages. It can feel kind of overwhelming, to be honest. But now let's get to the good stuff, the part where we actually fight back. What weapons do we have? What can we actually do to treat this thing?
You're right. It can feel like a lot, but the good news is we've got options. We have a whole arsenal of treatment modalities to work with, from prevention all the way to advanced procedures.
So let's start with the basics. What's the foundation for managing periodontal disease? Where do we even begin?
Well, the cornerstone of any successful treatment plan is a good old-fashioned dental cleaning. A professional prophylaxis, that's what we call it. We remove all the plaque and calculus above and below the gum line, and then smooth out any rough spots on the teeth and polish them up, so it's harder for that plaque to build back up.
So it's like hitting the reset button, giving the gums a chance to heal.
Exactly.
Huh.
And depending on how far the disease has progressed, we might need to go a step further with periodontal surgery.
Surgery. Okay. Now that sounds a little more intense.
I know the word can sound scary, but there are actually different types of periodontal surgery, each one designed to address specific problems. Like if there are deep periodontal pockets, we might do a gingival flap procedure to clean them out. Or even a bone graft to try to rebuild some of that lost bone tissue.
Wow. So we're not just cleaning, we're actually trying to rebuild and restore what's been damaged.
Exactly. And in severe cases, when a tooth is just too far gone, extraction might be the best option, you know, to relieve pain and prevent other issues.
Right. Sometimes that's the kindest thing we can do.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like the treatment really depends on each individual patient.
100%. Just like we talked about before, it's all about finding the right approach for each pet's specific needs.
And of course, we can't forget about home care. That's where client education comes in again.
Absolutely. We need to empower owners to take an active role in their pet's oral health. Regular brushing, dental chews, special diets, all these things can make a huge difference.
Speaking of home care, I noticed our sources mention MaxiGuard again here.
Oh, yeah. They've got some great products, especially for those pets who are, well, less cooperative with brushing. Their wipes and gels are really helpful for getting those antibacterial agents in there and keeping the gums healthy.
So it's about finding that balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Professional treatment and a good home care routine. We need to work together with the owner to make it all work.
I couldn't agree more. It's a team effort. And that's where we, as veterinary professionals, really come in. We're the ones who need to assess the patient, figure out the best plan, and then communicate all of that clearly to the owner so they understand what needs to be done.
Communication is key. We're not just giving orders.
Mm-hmm.
We're working together with the owner.
Absolutely. And beyond the actual treatments, we also need to think about things like nutrition and the pet's overall health.
Right. It's all connected.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A healthy diet, regular exercise, managing any other health conditions. All those things contribute to a healthy mouth, too.
It's a holistic approach. The whole animal, not just the teeth.
Exactly.
This masterclass has been so insightful. I feel like I've learned a ton. We've covered so much, from history to treatment strategies. What are your key takeaways for everyone listening?
You know, I think the most important thing to remember is that periodontal disease is serious, but it's not a hopeless situation. If we catch it early and intervene appropriately, we can really make a difference.
Couldn't agree more. And education is our biggest weapon. We need to make sure we understand periodontal disease and that we're educating owners too.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power in this case. And I think it's also crucial to remember that periodontal disease is complex. There's no quick fix, no one solution that works for every pet. We need to be detectives, assess each patient individually, come up with a plan just for them, and work closely with the owner every step of the way.
We're in this together.
Exactly.
This has been an incredible journey, and I feel so much more prepared to tackle periodontal disease now. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up?
I'll leave you with this question. How can we make oral health a more integral part of our everyday practice? How can we make it part of every conversation with clients, not just an afterthought? I think if we can figure that out, we can really start to win this fight against periodontal disease.
That's a great challenge for all of us to think about. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into periodontal disease. Remember, knowledge is power. Use what you've learned today to advocate for your patients. Help them keep those gums healthy. Until next time.